Here's your money briefing for Monday, January 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Life insurance is a tool that people often use to save money over time, especially indexed universal life insurance policies, which can generate earnings based on stock market performance. But there could be risks lurking for policyholders if the market takes a downturn. Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Sism will explain in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. The unemployment rate is at a 50-year low, but the number of layoffs announced in 2019 due to bankruptcy filings hit the highest level in more than a decade. The global outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas says that bankruptcy led to more than 62,000 job losses, or about 10% of all job cuts last year. The majority were due to retailers closing locations, but other cuts were in the transportation, mining, food, technology, and healthcare sectors as well. Indexed universal life insurance policies promise annual interest based on formulas tied to stock indexes and protection against losses. Right now, with the market on a historic run, they're among the industry's hottest products. So what's the catch? Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Sism is on the line with us to discuss. So Leslie, this is a very popular life insurance policy. What's the allure?
This product is a combination savings and death benefit product. And the savings earns interest that is tied to the broader U.S. stock market. That ability to earn some kind of stock market-like return is very appealing to many people. The insurance industry pitches this as a product that offers a market-like return or some portion of a market return, while at the same time, they won't pass on losses from the stock market. But in exchange for that protection on the downside, the insurance company will cap how much of the gain they will credit as interest in any given 12-month period. For example, they will perhaps cap at 10 or 11% interest as the maximum amount in a given year.
And with the market run-up in the past 3 or 4 years, I can imagine how that has contributed to the popularity of these accounts.
One concern of some consumer advocates, regulators, and financial advisors who aren't big fans of these products is that people don't recognize the costs that are in these policies. People owe various policy fees every year. So if you have a flat or down year for the market, the insurance company won't be paying any interest that year or very minimal interest, yet the costs will continue to come out or have to be paid. So the cost factor is something that critics are concerned people don't recognize.
Now, regardless of whether the market goes up or down, as a person ages and they hold these policies, do the fees increase?
The fees typically do increase annually. In essence, the buyer of one of these policies is buying a new term life policy every year. Term life is just a basic kind of insurance. Every year you get older, a term life policy costs more. In general, it will always cost more because there's a greater likelihood of death as you get older. So every year, an owner of one of these index policies will face a higher cost for the insurance portion of the contract. That's typical.
Now, the insurers can also change the interest rate over time.
Yes. Another concern that the critics have about the products is that the insurance companies can change numerous things about the policies under terms of the contracts. Their ability to change is subject to regulation and the contractual provisions. But nonetheless, the insurers can pay less interest. They can, like I said earlier, a policy may cap the interest at 10 or 11% a year. Over the course of ownership of this policy, the insurer might bump that down to 8 or 9%. So that's a worry. Also, the insurers typically have the contractual right to raise the rates they charge for the death benefit portion. So the cost can go up and your interest can come down. And that could spell disaster for people if they don't have extra money in their budgets to pay a bigger premium.
Oh, so it's like a double whammy. They have a lower value in their account and they're getting hit with escalating fees.
That could happen. It hasn't happened in general over the past decade because the stock market has been performing so well. So people have been earning decent amounts of interest in these policies. But if the market flattens or crashes and then flattens, there could be years with little interest being credited. And separately, as we discussed, the market could be performing relatively well, but the insurer, for whatever reason, decides under contractual provisions it's going to pay less interest to these policies.
Now, these policies have caught the attention of regulators before, right?
These policies took off in sales as the stock market was rebounding from the 2008-2009 deep slide during the financial crisis. So by 2015, regulators were becoming concerned that sales were booming, but people were not understanding the dangers. So the regulators created some new regulation. Now the regulators are back at the drawing board and they are working on regulation that will restrict the way that insurance companies can illustrate some new features known as multipliers, where they promise enhanced or greater interest to be credited. But again, that comes at a cost to the consumer, just in the, you know, it's sort of built into the fee structure. So the regulators, again, are concerned that consumers don't realize the downside of some of these features for which they will be paying extra money.
Now, many fear that risks associated with indexed universal life policies could lead to a repeat of experiences that people had with basic universal life in the 1980s. What happened then?
Basic universal life policies took off in the 1980s when interest rates were in the double digits. The 10-year treasury at one point was earning in the mid-teens. So the insurance companies sold this type of insurance where they promised interest credited to the policy based on current interest rates. After interest rates hit those peaks in the 1980s, they basically began a descent that ultimately became historic lows after the financial crisis of 2008. So people who owned those universal life policies saw their interest go from the from above 10% down to contractual minimums of 3 or 4%. That's a big disappointment. Those policies did not generate nearly as much interest buildup as the owners had anticipated, and they were counting on that interest to help them pay some of the future policy costs as the costs were rising over time.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Leslie Sism with us on the line. Leslie, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.